I think sometimes our lives looks like this, where we just want to cruise, right? Where we just want to do as you like. I remember last time Andy and myself were saying, Arsenal is cruising. We were winning, unstoppable. Until I think we met Liverpool then, that was the end. So even sometimes in our lives, it looks like this, where you just want to flow. You just want to move with your life. You don't want anything else to limit you. You want to progress. You want to make it in life, right? But then, as you are driving, you come across this sign. What does it mean? Yes, 10 kilometers per hour. But you want to drive at 200 kilometers per hour. Many of the drivers, they don't like these signs. Because why? They want to cruise. They want to enjoy the thrill of driving at high speed. But here comes a sign like this one, which is saying, oh, please slow down. I think God's laws in many ways are like this, where you just want to enjoy life anyhow. You want to do as you want. But now God says, this is not how it's supposed to be as a child of God. This is how we read the laws of God. Those words that we have been singing, the ancient words, it's nice to sing them. But sometimes when we think of applying them in our lives, it's difficult because we want freedom. We want to, you know, just to move, to do as we like without anyone or nothing hindering us or stopping us or just trying to restrict whatever joy that we want to enjoy. That's how sometimes I often feel when I read the Bible. You see a beautiful woman and you want to lust, and God says, do not lust, do not commit adultery. But your body says, I want to do this, right? I want to enjoy. But the Lord says, don't do this. Or someone has hurt you, and you want to go and say, today I am going to tell this person all the words in the world. Nothing, I'm not going to leave anything. I'm going to swear and swear and swear. But then the word of the Lord, it comes into your hearts and say, no, this is not how you are supposed to respond. You are supposed to forgive. And forgive how many times? I don't even know how many times. It's just infinite. So the law is there just to limit us. That's how we feel like. So that is the purpose of today's sermon. To show that the purpose of the law is not necessarily to limit us, but it is to protect us. It is for our own good. So we are going to see from the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings of many things, we also saw the beginnings of God instituting his laws. So the account that Clara read for us, it starts with God forming Adam in verse 7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So it's God who is at work, and he gave us physical life, mental life, spiritual life. He made each one of us a living being. But because he is a God of order, there's something that he did, that he formed, that he made before he created us, before he created Adam. Before he formed Adam, God made a home for Adam. And that home is the Garden of Eden. That's what we see in verse 8. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east. So God made a suitable environment, a suitable place for Adam and his future wife Eve to live. God made a beautiful place, a paradise. Then we read the second part of verse 8. There he put the man he had formed. He formed this beautiful place, beautiful garden, beautiful paradise. And then God put Adam in this paradise. I came across this beautiful garden. It's considered one of the most beautiful gardens in the world. This place is known as the Royal Palace of Caserta in Italy. This is beautiful, right? But it cannot be even compared to the beauty of the Garden of Eden, right? This Garden of Eden, it was a paradise. It was good. It was a place of luxury and pleasure, a place of happiness, a place of beauty and abundance, a place of everything that is good. The name Eden, the name garden, it resonates in the Bible with the name, with the term a royal park, something like this. So God planted a royal park for Adam and Eve. And we read from verse 10 that there was a river that was watering the Garden of Eden. And in verse 9, we see the beauty of this place. How? The Bible says in verse 9, "And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground." All kinds of trees to grow out of the ground. Trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. During that time when Moses wrote Genesis, that was the highest expression of helping the people to understand how beauty the Garden of Eden was. It had all kinds of trees that were, one, pleasing to the eye. And I believe all of us, we like to see what is beautiful. And God made trees that were pleasing to the eye. And secondly, they were good for food. So Adam and Eve, they enjoyed all the entire luxury and pleasure of the paradise of Eden. They enjoyed God's goodness in creation. This is the God that we pray. One, he formed us. Moreover, he made a beautiful royal park for this couple. But there is something that is even beyond what I have described about Eden. Eden was more than a paradise. It was a divine home. Eden was the dwelling place of God's presence. It was more than this royal place, because it was not just a physical place of beauty, but it was the dwelling place of God. We read in chapter 3, verse 8. Let me go there. Chapter 3, verse 8. It says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day." This is the description of the Garden of Eden. The presence of God was tangible. God was so personal, and he was so immediate to Eve and Adam. There was personal fellowship between God and Eve. There was direct fellowship between God and Eve. God directly engaged with Adam and Eve in a personal and relational manner. There was closeness and accessibility of God's presence. Just imagine hearing the footsteps of God walking between the chairs. The presence of God was so heavy. The presence of God was like you can touch the presence of God. That's how it was. Because that was the dwelling place of God. The Garden of Eden was the kingdom of God. And God was the king, ruling over his people, Adam and Eve. They had a perfect relationship with God. I think it's something to desire. Having a perfect, 100%. When all of us are speaking, we say, yes, we are God's children, but I'm not always perfect. We are quick to come to that point. These guys at that moment, they could say, we are 100% perfect before God. There was nothing bad. There was nothing unholy, nothing evil in the Garden of Eden. They had a perfect relationship with God, and they enjoyed God. Now the question that I have for myself when I was preparing, was, how could Adam and Eve live in a perfect relationship with God? How was it possible that this couple had a perfect relationship with God? Then my attention went to the trees again in chapter 9. We saw that God made all kinds of trees. Trees that were pleasing to the eye and also good for food. But there were also two special trees in the middle of the garden. In verse 9, the second part, it says, in the middle of the garden, were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So these are two contrasting trees. One is the tree of life, but the other tree is a tree of the knowledge, yes, of good, but also evil. Then we read in chapter 2, verse 16, it says, and the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So as long as Adam and Eve were feeding on any type of the tree in the garden and not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they could have a perfect relationship with God. Especially the tree of life. Because they could eat from the tree of life. So they had life. The perfect relationship with God comes from the tree of life. Not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God says, eat from any tree. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Are we saying God did not want them to know what is good and what is evil? I don't think so. Look at the entire Bible. God wants us to know what is good and evil through our reverence of him. That's what the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He doesn't want us to know that this is good and this is evil by disobedience. He wants us to know that this is good and this is evil by us obeying him. So the way to know with experience that this is good and this is evil, but by their reverence of God, not by their disobedience. That's why God says, you should not eat any fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So as long as they kept the commandment of God, they enjoyed God, enjoyed one another, they also enjoyed creation. As long as they kept the commandment, they enjoyed God. They enjoyed one another's companion. And they also enjoyed creation. And let us finish the verse 17. Let us finish it. Why God is saying, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Maybe this God does not love us. He wants us just to punish our own bodies. He doesn't want us to enjoy. Why is he not allowing us to touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Let's read. I'll read verse 17 again. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. When you eat of it, you will not die, but you will surely die. So the result of disobedience is death. And we know, fast forwarding, as we are going to learn maybe next week also, that they disobeyed God by eating from this tree. And the result was physical death and also spiritual death. They had no relationship with God because they were cut off from the tree of life. So the result of disobedience from God's own mouth is death. And they become slaves to sin, slaves to evil. They are cut off from the tree that gives life, the source of true life. They are spiritually dead. So coming back to our next slide. Coming back to this speed limit sign, is it good or is it bad? Is it a good sign for us or is it a bad sign for us? Sorry? It's bad. Sorry? It's good. That is the purpose of the law. God's laws. God's laws are for our own good. Right? The sign is saying, please don't drive beyond 10 kilometers per hour. Why? Because they want to preserve your own life. There are many caves ahead. They are not doing this to punish you. And these are human beings, not even Christians, some of them who come with these ideas. What about God giving Adam and Eve the commandment that you can eat from the tree of life, but don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Is he an evil God? No. He wants to protect his own children. He knows what is good for each one of them. So that is what we see in the Genesis of God giving the law. That the law was never meant to punish us. The law was never meant to make us, to restrict our freedom. But the law is for our own good. That's what we see. Yes, you may be able to drive there at 100 kilometers per hour, but it's a risk. It's a risk. So God, from the beginning, we're talking about the beginning, this chapter 2, the law of God, the purpose of the law of God was to protect us. It was there for our own good. So what do we learn from this account in chapter 2? What do we learn? One, we learn that God is the rightful lawgiver. He is the legitimate, the fitting lawgiver. One, he formed us, and also he made the world for us. There is no one in this world that has got the right to give the law above God, because God is the one who formed us, as we saw. He formed the man out of the dust, and he planted a garden for the man. And the second point, God's laws are good for us. God's laws are good for us. The only person who does not like God's laws is someone who wants to do what is wrong. But the laws are there for our own goodness. One, the God's laws, they govern our relationship with God. We have a relationship with God, but what is the structure of our relationship with God? What gives shape to the relationship that we have with God? It is God's laws. Without the laws of God, we don't even know how to worship God. But the laws of God, they help us to understand how we are to worship the living God. This is what we see, even the life of the Israelites. They were a chosen nation, went to Egypt, redeemed. They went through the Red Sea. Then afterwards, God gave them the law at Sinai. So redemption comes first and the law second. They went Sinai, Red Sea came first before Sinai. That's the same with us. We are not saved by keeping the law. But as God's people, saved by grace, we need the law of God. That's how we can only know how to worship God. Do not murder. We only know because there is a law that God is against murder. Then also, still on point number two, God's laws are good for us because they govern relationship between one another. If there's no law, I'm going outside to take your Mercedes-Benz and go home. If there's no law, the people who control are the ones with power. Even your wives, they'll be taken away with those who are strong. Because there is no law. But God's laws, they govern relationships among people. God's laws are good for us because also they govern a relationship between us and creation. There are things that as Christians we can't do. For example, some people are marrying animals, but we can't do that because of the laws of God. They help us to take care of God's creation. Then the third point, the purpose of God's law is that we enjoy God, enjoy one another, and enjoy his creation. Do you want to enjoy God? There's no other place except to follow the laws of God. If you want to enjoy God, those ancient words that we've been singing, let them be impressed upon your heart. And be your life. You enjoy God. If you want to enjoy one another, to say, I've got a good relationship with my brother, Kasera. We need the two of us to submit ourselves to the law of God. When there is no common ground, it's difficult for us to enjoy one another. That's the reason why we have so many wars in the world, divisions in the world. Because there's nothing to govern us, the relationship. And of course, if you want to enjoy creation, obey God's laws. Sometimes we think that, okay, we need to misuse creation so that we get maximum profits. But then after a year, there's nothing for us to enjoy. The air quality is no longer good for us. So when we take care of the environment, of creation, we enjoy it. Then the fourth point. Of course, looking at the entire Bible, Jesus himself in Matthew 5:17, he says, I did not come to abolish the law, but I did come to fulfill the law. So Jesus fulfills perfectly the intended purpose of God's laws. So we need to embrace the laws of God as they are fulfilled in the life and the ministry and the teachings of Jesus Christ. So again, I will ask, do we continue to see God's laws as a punishment for our freedom? Or God's laws are for our own goodness? What do we think? Some of us, we don't even read the Ten Commandments because they are like hammering your heart to say, no, no, no. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. But I believe God's laws are for your own good and also for my own good. So I encourage you, family, let us embrace the laws of God. The laws of God are good for us. Let us ask the power of His Spirit to help us to embrace God's laws as we see them fulfilled in the life, ministry, in the teachings of Jesus Christ. Let us pray together. Heavenly God, we thank you that even in the beginning, after you formed our first parents, Adam and Eve, you gave them your laws. You gave them the law that they should eat from any tree in the garden, but they should not eat any fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Father, we recognize that you did this not because you don't love them, but because you alone, you know what is good. You alone, you know what is helpful for your people, for your children. So we submit ourselves before your presence, and Father, we render our hearts to you that we would love to obey your laws, to embrace your laws, because you are the one who instituted them. So help us, Father, by your Spirit, to love your laws, because they are there for our own good. They are not there to punish us. Help us by your Spirit, oh God. Help us, Father, to find that to see that your laws are not a burden to each one of us, but your laws are there for our own good. We thank you that we have Jesus Christ, God in flesh. When he came to follow your laws, and in his life you fulfilled your laws for us. And he gave us your Spirit, who helps us to embrace your laws. So now we ask you that we take delight in your laws. Just as the psalmist say in many of his psalms, that his joy and delight is in the law of God. So we thank you. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.